Baker McKenzie welcomes you to TMT Talk, the global TMT podcast series, focusing on sector-specific issues that are impactful on players in the technology, media, and telecoms industry.
Welcome to another episode of Baker McKenzie's TMT Talk, our podcast series of our technology, media, and telecom industry group. It's designed to help clients navigate and prioritize with insights from top legal advisors around the world in strategic technology markets. My name is Lota Dittermann. I'm a partner in Palo Alto. Today, we're bringing a particularly interesting topic that we've been watching for many years, namely an update on the Thai Personal Data Protection Act, BE2562. Or short, the new Thai privacy law. Thailand was so close to have the first Southeast Asian jurisdiction with the first comprehensive data protection law enforced, but then Sri Lanka beat you by a few weeks when the new law is scheduled to come into effect on June 1, 2022. It has been postponed a few times, but it looks like three times a charm this year. It will actually take effect. We'll specifically be covering this from a compliance perspective, employment, and also look at some enforcement-related questions. And I'm so excited to be joined here by my partners from Bangkok. With me is Kriti Yani, who is a recognized expert in information technology and privacy law. And Kriti Yani, can I ask you to introduce the partners who are with you today in Bangkok?
Of course. Thank you so much, Lota. And it's nice to be able to speak on the podcast session today with you. I'm here with Khun Nap Ek Lek Phuong Phu, who is also a partner in our labor and employment practice group. He has extensive experience leading our clients in terms of employment regulation and also the relating document. I work with him for various occasions in implementing legal documents and even revising employment-related documents to be in compliance with the Thai PDPA. And also here with me is Khun Vasin Lert Walaipong, who is also our partner in dispute resolution practice group. He works closely with me as well for various clients who need to take certain consideration when they want to know what is the kind of litigation in Thailand and what would be the practice or the practical risk that might occur in advance, even if the Thai PDPA has not yet taken into full effect. So I would like to welcome all of our partners here.
Oh, wonderful. Vasin, Nam Ik, I'll turn to you in a minute, but I want to start with Kriti Yani, to just give us a little more detail whether the new Thai data protection law will really take effect on June 1, 2022. And if so, what will companies have to do as of June?
Of course, Lota, this has been a very interesting question and has been asking very often in this couple of weeks in Thailand because it's late May already. And normally, if we look back to last couple year, when there was the official postponement of the Thai PDPA, normally the Thai government would announce at early of May already. But right now it's almost the end of May, but still there is no official announcement. So we foresee that there should be no further postponement. And also combining with the fact that this particular week, just on Monday, the Thai PDPC or Personal Data Protection Committee, which is the regulator overseeing the Thai PDPA, they just announced the advertisement to invite the audience to join them for the next webinar session next week, that they will invite the Prime Minister of Thailand to open the seminar. And the particular topic of seminar is how to enforce Thai PDPA. meaning that combining with this recent news, I think that the PDPA would not be postponed because the regulator also hold a big event inviting the prime minister to talk about how to enforce the Thai PDPA as well, Lota.
Now, Kitty and me, I'm also asking, what do companies have to do? I know we've been working together. A number of Thai companies have GDPR compliance programs in place. Some of them are active in the United States. They kept up with California law and other requirements. Can they just use exactly the same notices, or can they at least leverage part of the program?
So there are various things that the company should prepare themselves with. I can separate into two main phases. So the first one is to conduct the data mapping to gather all the data involved that the company has been collecting, using, disclosing, or even cross-border transferring to overseas. And the second phase is the legal document preparation. But due to the limited timeline right now, that we only have around 2 weeks left until 1st of June, meaning that some companies may need to switch up and implement the legal document or preparing the legal document first. So in terms of preparing legal document, ideally you need to pass phase one of the data mapping activity first to see how the data flow within your company and your outside your company. But because the upcoming date is chasing up, so the legal document that each company should prepare can be categorized into four main pillars. First one is for the customer document. The second one is for the HR legal document that Kunam Ek may provide more input onto this. And also the third one is for the legal document with business partners. And the fourth one is the internal legal document manual or even the internal policy to guide the company of how to comply with the PDPA provisions in time. So let's go back to first pillars of legal document. Normally, the company need to have the privacy policy or the privacy notice in place for the customers. And most of the time when the legal basis other than consent, such as contractual basis, legitimate interest, exception cannot be used, then you need to rely on consent as another legal basis, as a base for collection, using, or even disclosure of personal data. Then the company may need to implement another legal document of consent form for customers. And even some companies that have minor customers, you may need to implement the parental consent form on top of general consent form for the customers. And some companies that has the establishment in Thailand and have CCTV in place, then you might need to have CCTV privacy notice and also the warning sign as well. So that's for the customer-based legal document. Then we move on to the second pillar, which is HR legal documents. So obviously, privacy policy and consent form for employees needs to be prepared. And sometimes if the company hire any interns who might be considered as a minor under Thai law, then the company would need to prepare another parental consent form for the minor employee as well. And to link with Nam Ek, who is an expert in the employment law, then sometime we need to work with Nam Ek to go back and revise the employee agreement and also the work rules to reflect the PDPA provisions onto those the legal document from the HR perspective as well. And the third pillar would be the document with business partners. The mandatory one would be the data processing agreement, or you may hear it DPA in short. That's a nickname that the industry is known for. So the DPA or data processing agreement would be the mandatory legal document that the company, when engage any service provider or data processor to collect, use, or disclose personal data on the company's behalf, then the company needs to implement the data processing agreement and enter this agreement with the data processor or the service provider. And also for the last one, which would be the internal manuals or the internal record that the company needs to prepare for in time of 1st of June, would be the ROP or record or processing activity. This one would take a lot of time to conduct the fact findings and also to complete the ROPA or record of processing activity form, because under Thai PDPA, it needs to insert various details onto such processing activity. For example, the data that the companies collect and the legal basis or the purposes that each personal data has been used for. And sometimes when the data subjects or customers or even the employees who are also considered the data subject exercise certain rights of the data subject, for example, right to withdraw consent, right to restriction, then the company need to record this into a ROPA or record of processing activity form as well, whether the company accept the exercise of those rights or the company has certain exception to legally reject the data subject who exercise these rights. So in conclusion, all of these mandatory obligations are a lot, and I think that most of companies already passed phase one of data mapping, but some company might still in the implementation phase of phase two or legal document implementation. Some companies might already finish doing this, but if for all of the obligation that I mentioned has not been finished yet, then there might be the compliance risk from the PDPA perspective before 1st of June. From the two step of preparing for compliance that I just mentioned, meaning that you will see that there's a lot and there's a whole bunch of legal document that company needs to prepare. But obviously from the Thai-based company that they don't have this document in place before, they normally have to start from zero. And these are our clients who already prepare and implement the Thai PDPA for the last couple years already. But there are also other types of company that originated from overseas, from US. For example, that Lota has been working with me for various scenarios, and there are also company in the EU that they need to prepare themselves from the different angle to implement the Thai PDPA or localize their legal document as well.
Now, Kritia Ni sounds to me like mapping, notices, data processing agreements, even records of processing activities, which we don't require here in the US, but in the EU, sounds to me like you can just use the materials that companies prepared for the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, in Europe and just use them for Thailand too?
There's some part, yes, but some part is no. Because obviously, many of our audience already know that Thai PDPA draws a lot of concept from the EU GDPR, right? So for the main concept, even the privacy notice, consent, record or processing activity or ROPA, or even the data processing agreement that you just mentioned, we draw the same main concept from the EU GDPR. But of course, their views is always in the details. So when you look into the provision under Thai PDPA, the details are different from the EU GDPR, meaning that for some example, you can leverage the already compliance that the company prepare for the GDPR legal document perspective already. But then you need to localize and tailor-made a bit. So for example, I will mention about the difference. Our audience might already aware that privacy notice from the GDPR perspective, you need to put in detailed legal basis as applicable as an exception to consent to the extent that's applicable. For example, legitimate interest, vital interest, contractual basis. These are mostly the general legal basis that our clients normally would put in the privacy notice. But again, when you look into the details of disclosure requirement or notice requirement under Thai PDPA, we have certain legal basis that wasn't in the EU GDPR, meaning that you need to add more certain legal basis as an exception to consent in the privacy policy. And also in terms of type of personal data that the clients need to, or the companies need to put into the privacy notice, comparing the exact provisions under EU GDPR and PDPA, they are not the same. From the GDPR perspective, they mentioned that the type of personal data needs to be put into the privacy notice, meaning that you can include somewhat, somehow, a broadened scope of personal data because they mentioned the types of personal data. But in comparison with Thai PDPA mentioned that you need to put in actual personal data to be notified to the users of how such actual personal data will be collected, used, or even disclosed. So this creates a big gap because when EU-based companies would like to localize their privacy notice further, they need to conduct new data mapping activity to find out what actual personal data that they hold and what are they doing with it, because it needs to be spelled out in the privacy notice. So this is another gap. And another main gap that I foresee is that the age of the customer or age of the data subject. In EU's, I understand that they mentioned the age of minor at the above of 16, in some country above of 13. But in Thailand, Thai PDPA mentioned about the age of minor into separate group. One is from the age of 0 until 10 years old, and another group is 10 years old until 20. So you will see here that there are big difference here. And if comparing from online children online activity acts from US that Lota can put in your details further. Some company which are US based, their terms and condition would limit the user at the age of 13 to be in compliance with the US based law. But when they try to expand their business into Thailand as well, we cannot use the same age range. We cannot use the same terms and conditions. We need to localize and tailor-made to particularly target the age gap and the age of the clients in Thailand and how the Thai PDPA spell out the age range. And also, Thai PDPA also buy the age range with the Thai Commercial Court, which is another set of law that provide example and exception of what the activity that minors could do. So for those online based company or the mobile application, for example, this create a huge gap as well, because sometimes they have to verify the age gate from the start of minor, and they need to think whether they need to have another parental consent form. But obviously, before they can do this, they need to differentiate the age of Thai PDP based on Thai PDPA and based on Thai EU GDPR. And also, if they are coming from US-based company, then they need to differentiate this with the US-based law as well.
All right, Virginia, this is very helpful, very detailed, a lot to think about. I'll say from the practical perspective to our listeners today, probably a good idea to start with taking materials that you prepared for GPR and then send it to your Thai council as a starting point, but there will have to be changes made. Now, I want to turn a little bit to a different practice group affected by this new law and asked, Namik, what specifically do employers have to do differently to comply with the new Thai privacy law after June 1, 2022?
Yes, thank you. So I think first thing first, you know, the employer should not forget to consider data of its employees and their staff as well, because, you know, those are considered as personal data and must be considered and addressed too. Most of the time, they somehow just thinking about, you know, outwards, only consider about external parties' personal data like customer data. So first of all, the company will have to comply, you know, with PDPA regarding their employee and personal data too. So what they have to do is, I think, basically, you know, just do the data mapping. You know, what personal data the company is collecting, from whom, and for which purpose. And so in this regard, I think, you know, since these are the company's own employees and contractors, some you already have this data already. So it may be a good place to start first, even before considering, you know, external data mapping with your suppliers and customers in the first place. And then, you know, you may consider about data retention and utilization, right? At each state of employment, you know, which data you are retaining and keeping and for which purpose, you know, since before hiring, you know, at a candidate or throughout the employment period or at the end of that employment, you know, how long will the company retain those data, right? For example, some employee record, you know, the law may actually require the company to retain it. You know, why in some other case, you know, dealing with some other employee record, the company may need to retain this just for evidence purpose, you know, just in case the employees may come back and sue the company and the company can refer to this document or evidence to defend the case. The next thing I think just for the company to do is, you know, to review and revise the existing HR documents and policy. Obviously, you know, for example, job application, you know, what questions or information that you should ask or you should not be asked in the first place. You know, what about the employment agreement and work rules and regulations? Is there any clause that you need to revise to reflect this PDPA? And then, you know, you need to prepare a whole set of new documents or policy relating to, you know, this PDPA. For example, privacy policies, data privacy notice for your own employees and your own personnel as well. And then the next thing you need to consider is, you know, how you're going to actually implement those revised HR documents and policies. Once you have revised them, you know, do you still need to obtain the employee consent, or do you need to consult with them before you can actually announce the revised documents? And is there any notice requirement you need? Do you need to notify relevant labor officials or a labor union in your workplace or not? You know, what about, you know, keeping these documents electronically, you know, whether that is legally acceptable or not? So these are the things that, you know, you need to consider about. And then, and I think the last point that I would like to mention is, you know, arrange for training for relevant persons, because obviously you have all the, you know, all the good documents and policy, but those things alone are not enough, because actually it's the people on the ground who are actually implement this in practice. So I think they need to be aware to know about the PDPA and know, you know, what they should do and what they should not do in the first place. So I think, you know, it's quite important to arrange for training for these persons, you know, may it be HR persons or IT persons, so they can fully understand and they can, you know, fully implement those documents in practice in line with the PDPA and what the company wants.
Thank you so much, Namik, for this important guidance from the employment perspective. Now I'd like to turn to a key question that clients always ask. What if we don't get this 100% right? And ask Vasin, how will this law be enforced? Do you expect private lawsuits like we have here in the US? Or are we expecting more government-driven enforcement like we see in the EU? And what kind of sanctions are likely?
Yes, thank you very much. Well, the PDPA imposes penalty for non-compliance, of course, and there are three types of enforcement for non-compliance. Let me first take you through the civil or private enforcement first. In the case of a data breach, the law specifies that the data controller may be liable for compensation plus punitive damages up to twice the amount of the actual damages. Normally, it's very challenging for claimants to prove non-monetary damages, as Thai courts are very reluctant to award these kind of damages in practice. So it's interesting to see how plaintiffs can successfully prove the damages from such a data breach. And it's also interesting to see whether or not the Thai court will take its conservative approach in quantifying the damages in the PDPA cases in the future. What's even more interesting is the fact that the civil damages can actually be multiplied, as Thailand allows data subjects to bring class action lawsuits. And we all know how sizable those can get. Recently, we have observed some movement from NGOs or consumer organizations, as in they have started to become more proactive towards data protection more than ever before. So certainly we can expect private lawsuits being brought into the court, either by individuals or consumer protection bodies. It's also important to note that the two main bodies in Thailand are Consumer Protection Board and Consumer Council, with the latter being more incentivized by the recent legislation to bring lawsuits on behalf of the consumer as a whole. Because the court can award additional lawyer fees and punitive damages more. The second kind of enforcement, which comes from the government, is the administrative action. The committees may impose administrative fines for up to 5 million Thai baht. If you compare to cases in other jurisdictions, of course, it may not be too high. However, it remains to be seen how the committee will calculate the fines. And it may be possible that the fines may be calculated per action or per data breach. And if that's the case, the quantum of the fines will be substantially increased, and there can be further proceeding down the line to the judicial review process by taking actions to the admin court to revoke or review the decision of the committees. The last action is the criminal action, which could involve imprisonment for up to 1 year and the fines for up to 1 million Thai baht. This is where the directors of a company could also be subject to penalties under the PDPA if they are involved in the criminal action of the company. So in conclusion, those are the three types of the enforcement under the PDPA in the future.
Thank you so much to my colleagues, Vasin, for the update on enforcement, Namik, on employment law, and Kritia Ni, the comparison to the GDPR and what companies generally have to do on the consumer side of things. And this concludes our podcast today on the new Thai privacy law. We hope to see you for another episode of TMT Talk soon, Baker McKenzie's global podcast series for technology, media, and telecom companies. We hope you have a wonderful day. We hope you enjoyed the program today. Let us know if there's other topics you'd like to cover. And thank you very much again to Bangkok, to my partners, for joining us today.